Good morning. Think it's time to go before the Lord. I don't know if any of you have taken the opportunity to read the back of your bulletin, but it seems the list of people that we're interceding for continues to grow all the time. And we add to that list, it's not on there yet, but Kate's mom, Anne, is sick again. And so we are going to intercede for her this morning. And the Seawalk son-in-law down in the States is ill as well, was bit by this a brown spider of some sort that's caused him to be quite ill. So if you can add them to the list and intercede throughout the week for them, and let's go to God just now in prayer. Father, we're grateful that you were here long before we were. Lord, you formed us. You knit us together in our mother's womb, and you've brought us to a place where we can fellowship in this body this morning. And Lord, we can be here with one another, encourage one another in Christ. And so we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that much was accomplished this weekend up at the camp. And just about now, I think Rev Dev will start a message up at the camp. And so, Lord, we ask that your anointing would be upon him and that those who are fellowshipping there would receive of your word, Lord, and that they'd apply it to their lives. And Lord, we pray for the same thing to happen here this morning, that our hearts would be open to your prompting and to your call, and that you'd help sort out priorities in our lives. But Father, this morning, there's a whole number of people we want to pray for. We do want to pray for Kate's mother. We ask, Lord, that you would, again, bring your healing. Lord, this isn't the first time that she's battled with this, and so we just pray your encouragement on her and on the family, but more so, Lord, we ask your healing there. We pray for this Tom down in the States, Lord, that the swelling would be reduced, and Lord, that that wouldn't become any major concern. Father, we pray for Ken Kennedy, as I heard report this morning, he's out of the ICU, and Lord, we give you praise for that. And God, we ask that you continue to heal him. We pray for Scott Ferguson's dad. Lord, we pray for Murray and Hertha Springer. Lord, these are all very dear people to us and people from right within our families here. And Lord, we ask that you would uphold them, that you'd lift them up in these times of struggle. And Father, we pray for Shirley Talbot. We pray for Lillian. We pray for Nathan. We pray for Lauren, Megan Pocha. Lord, so many others that maybe we haven't even met yet, and you continue to lay them upon our hearts. So Lord, we intercede for them as well. God, we continue to ask for direction, that you would be our comforter and our guide, and Lord, that you'd lead us in the way that you would have us go with this congregation and with our church and with buildings and properties and such. And Lord, we desire not at all to build our treasures on earth, but we want to store those treasures in heaven. And Lord, we want more people to come to know you. So enable us to do that, Lord, regardless of where we're at. So Father, we thank you this day. And we pray now that you'd open our hearts again to your word. And we want to give you glory in Christ's name. Amen. Would you take a minute and look around you? Is there anybody that you see in this room that you haven't met before? If you see somebody that you haven't met, could you raise your hand? Okay, keep raising your hands till you're all guilty. Okay, now if you'd go and meet that person, introduce yourself to them, and then we're gonna, seriously, let's stand up and we'll greet one another and maybe say something like, "The Lord be with you and also with you." Well done. That was good. Now that's good fellowship, in my opinion. The code of silence this morning has been broken. Well, it seems to me that you're passionate about people. You always kind of have been as First Baptist Church. But let me ask you a question right off the top. What is it that gets you passionate about God? What is it music? Is it Rev Dev's preaching? Is it his stories? Is it family and friends? What is it that really gets you passionate about God? And what is it that gets you so passionate that it keeps you from spiritual lethargy, where your bones start to ache and creak and you don't exercise your faith any longer? What is it that keeps you motivated? Philippians chapter 2, and it should come up on the screen. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. We need to work out our salvation. It says, work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now this morning, we have an interesting title, The Joy of Slavery. As I understand, the newspaper called back after Kate left her message and said, is that really the title? The Joy of Slavery? Yes, it is, and you'll see why. To work out your salvation, in my opinion, indicates an ongoing process, and we're going to unpack that for you this morning. But each of us needs to see if we are in the faith. Okay, maybe you've been in these pews for the last 10 years. That's fine. We're all at the same point this morning. See if you are in the faith. Take the time to evaluate yourself this morning. Now we're going to land in Romans chapter 6. So if we turn there, Romans chapter 6, and we're going to begin reading in verses 11 to 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 to 14. So you should consider yourselves dead to sin and able to live for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its lustful desires. Do not let any part of your body become a tool of wickedness to be used for sinning. Instead, give yourselves completely to God since you have been given new life. And use your whole body as a tool to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. For you are no longer subject to law which enslaves you. Instead, you are free by God's grace. Did you catch verse 14? Sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but you are under grace. Has anybody ever gotten to a point in your life where God kind of pinpoints something in your life, and he says, look, this is an area you need to work on, and you sense that conviction of the Holy Spirit, and then you begin to pray and work on it? Anyone? Yeah. I think there are some super Christians out there who the Lord nudges them on the shoulder and says, hey, buddy, Kevin, super Christian. No, okay. So work on this area in your life. And they seem to be able to pray, confess it, deal with it, and it's done. But then there's guys like me who it doesn't always happen so easily. And I have to return to the Lord a number of times. The enemy says to us, just think, you're a loser. Lots of generalities. You can't do it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. And he bathes all those things that way. The enemy does these things. But Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but you are under grace. If you're under the law and only the law, okay, we're talking Old Testament law, a whole bunch of rules. If that's all Christianity is about, then words like condemnation, loser, you stink, you can't do it, all those kind of things come out. But what happens when we're under grace? Suddenly we have freedom. This is where we're going, the joy of slavery, that maybe we could become slaves to Christ. And in so we gain all the freedom, though we're slaves to him. A life under grace is a life of freedom, and grace leads to transformation. Laws and rules and all those things, they serve their purpose in their time. But if that's all we have, if that's all this faith is, we will find ourselves under condemnation. I love the last song that you chose for us to sing this morning, because here was the question. When you picture the law and all those rules and obligations. Have you ever pictured God, kind of looking down like this at you with furrowed brow? And, why did you do what you did? Have you ever gotten that mental picture? And then when you picture grace, it's exactly those words. I picture Christ with his arms of love open, perhaps with a tear in his eye, grieved over my sin, but ready to receive me no matter what, under grace. It is not whether you have failed or not. It is because God has decided to set his grace upon you. It has nothing to do with whether you decided to fail or whether you decided to do good on this hand. It is 100% about God. God has set his grace upon us. And God is absolutely 100% committed to you for the rest of your life. Do you believe that? Regardless. Certainly we will grieve him, but he is 100% committed to you for the rest of your life. When you fall and when you fail, because of the grace of God, you should be able to stand up and lean on him, although you feel like you just can't do it. You just can't get up, but you know that God is there committed to you. So this brings us to our first point. We are all slaves to something. We are all slaves to something. We're going to go back to Romans chapter 6 now, and we're going to read verses 15 and 16 together. Romans chapter 6, 15 and 16. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one to whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, we are all slaves to something. Okay, if my boss, and you all know who that is, it's Dev, right? God, yes, thank you. Amen. That's better. No, Devin's a great boss. But if Devin says, Jeremy, you must do this, this, and this, and my immediate response without ever thinking at all, I just automatically do it. If I do those things continuously, maybe I'm a bit of a slave to Devin. Okay, or maybe my spouse, as if I do this all the time, but she says, do this and jump this high. And I do all the time, perhaps I become a slave to my wife, right? Or perhaps youth group, right? You guys got your friends and your groups, and then Greg, the fearless leader, says, we must do this. And everybody follows him. Perhaps you're a slave to Greg. All right. You get the point. We are all slaves to something, and this same principle goes for our spiritual nature, okay? It goes for our sinful nature. If sin shows up at your door, it knocks, you jump, you walk into it, you are evidencing that you're a slave to sin. But the question this morning is, are you going to be a slave to sin, or are you going to be a slave to righteousness? The slave of sin has absolutely no regard for his sin. In fact, he may not even know that he's doing it, okay? Here, it's just a great morning to talk about Kevin. I see something, some spiritual leadership in Kevin, because every Sunday morning when he prays, well, pretty much, at the end there, he prays something. Lord, what about those people who choose not to follow you or who chose not to come to church this morning and, who have stayed away? And he recognizes, I hope, that these people, they have no clue. Maybe they totally are missing this. They don't know what this whole body of Christ thing is. And so they choose just to ignore it. They drive by every week and they choose to ignore it. Okay, but I believe full well that even some of them, they have no clue. They don't even have a sniff of what's going on here. Like that they're actually ignorant of it. Okay, so the slave of sin has no regard for the fact that they're sinning, or maybe they don't even realize they're doing it. But the slave of righteousness has an overwhelming, a consuming desire to do what his master wants. That's what the slave of righteousness does. Okay, so we flip out our sin Rolodex. Okay, and we flip to the letter S, just for example. Okay, stuff. The sin of stuff. You have to buy this. You have to have the newest clothes. You have to have the best car, all those things. Okay? There's an example of somebody who's enslaved to those things. You just gotta buy, buy, buy. Right? What about sexuality? Obviously, there are countless millions of people in this world who are just enslaved to that. They have to continuously feed themselves on that area. What about substance? Substance abuse, cocaine, alcohol, sugar. Caffeine? Chewing gum? No, we won't go there. Stay away from the safe sins, I know. Non-believers often think that Christianity is this burdensome law-bearing rules and stuff that's going to oppress me the rest of my life. if I get away from this stuff that I call life, which is really a lot of it with sin, if I go over here and be with a Christian, I'm going to be held down. He's going to give me chains and hold me down. Is that the case, though? I don't think so. Because the prescription for the follower of Christ is the Word of God, and that Word of God brings freedom. Sometimes those things that we thought brought us freedom became the worst bondages of all. And the one that just dawns on me right away is the guy who goes to the bar who thinks I can have a couple of drinks and it's going to loosen me up and I don't have to worry about my problems anymore. I'll, you know, drink those things away. And maybe that's going to lead to something way more of a bondage for them. Maybe it'll turn into alcoholism. Maybe they'll have an accident on the way home. It doesn't free them at all. So the prescription manual for sin is the Word of God, and slavery to sin is broken through obedience to the gospel. Amen? Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. God be thanked for giving any one of us a victory over sin. When we believe the gospel, that root of sin, those chains are actually cut off. And we gain freedom in Christ. So hopefully some of you can identify that you were slaves to sin. I know I certainly was. And some areas I'm still dealing with. But point number two, and hopefully some can identify this, we've become now slaves to righteousness and slaves to Christ. Righteousness replaces that slavery to sin. So where they fed themselves on these sins over here, now they fill themselves with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 18 and 19 and 22. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is, you see it there? Eternal life. Fantastic. So now maybe you're the person who wasn't long ago, you were enslaved to sin. Now you come to Christ, and all of a sudden you realize there are a whole realm of things that you simply cannot do anymore. You didn't give them a second thought before. Now all of a sudden, I just can't go down this road anymore. So is this freedom, or is this condemnation? Well, it might feel a little bit like condemnation at first for somebody. But in fact, it is freedom. God is releasing you from a whole lot of those ugly things. Spiritually speaking, it's like God is saying, get off your mat and walk. Take that freedom. So, let's make this very practical this morning. Are you in fact a slave to sin? Or are you in fact a slave to righteousness? Three attributes of a slave to righteousness. Okay, so now this is where we can start to evaluate ourselves. Number one, if you're a slave to righteousness and a slave to God, are you acutely aware of unrighteousness in yourself? Do you know, yes, I realize full well that there is this dark spot in my heart and I'm dealing with that. I see that there, and maybe it wasn't there a couple weeks ago, but now I recognize it. Secondly, you just cannot ignore personal sin. So when you were struggling with something before, now maybe you're a slave to righteousness and you're walking in your life and you come to that old sin as nagging and tapping you on the shoulder. Can you ignore it anymore? Or do you just say, yeah, okay, let's keep on doing that. It's not going to hurt me. And thirdly, you constantly wonder if you are pleasing your new master. Okay, it's not like you're sitting in a corner, God, are you pleased with me? Are you okay? Are we okay? How are you doing? Nah, it's not that. It's not even necessarily every single day. But generally speaking, in your life, God is nudging you, and you're recognizing, yes, God, you are in control. I want to submit my life to you. So I ask the question then, what if you look at these three attributes, and what if you say, you know what, I don't experience those things at all, but I'm a Christian. Well, I ask you the question, are you? Have you enslaved yourself to Christ? Have you conformed to his image? Are you following after him? Okay? This is a good way to see where we're at in our lives. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. John chapter 15, I'll read some verses for you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. So I ask you the question this morning, with those three attributes, are you seeing some fruit in your life? Are you starting to recognize those things in your life? Are you wondering if you're pleasing the Master? Let me remind you of the first verse we read. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Thirdly, victory is accomplished when we present ourselves to God. He's got to be in the equation, folks. Now that we are children of God, in fact, you have become slaves to righteousness. So when the crossroads of sin comes knocking at our door and it's asking us, come on back to this old life, what are you going to do? And we look back again at Romans 6:11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So when sin comes knocking at your door, the first thing you might want to do if you're a slave of righteousness, you may want to say, that's it, I am not going down this path because I am dead to this sin. Did you hear that verse? Sin will no longer be your master. You are no longer under that law, but you are under grace. So you stand up before that thing, and maybe this is all an internal dialogue, and you're talking to God, and your friends are right around you, but you're just, I'm struggling, Lord. God, I'm dead to this sin. That's it. You've told me it. It's in the word. I'm dead to this sin. But you can't just stop there, because you might just find yourself saying, I'm dead to this sin, and I'm feeling more alive to it every minute I talk about it. We have to say it right there, Romans 6:11. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So secondly, recognize yourselves as being alive to God. Because you're right, you can't do it on your own. Yes, I'm dead to sin, and yes, I need God. I am alive in Christ. I need him to help me. Paul says, I speak in human terms. What a strange saying. I speak in human terms. Yeah, you're a human guy. Of course. What he's saying is, look, this is an analogy. It's a metaphor. Don't take it too far. That's, I think, why the newspaper called slavery, joy of slavery. How could that be? Okay, normally we don't talk about joyful slavery. Don't take that too far. But yes, be very serious about count yourself dead to sin and secondly, alive to Christ. Before you were in Christ, did anybody have to teach you how to sin? Did anybody say, hey, this is a good way to sin? Not at all. He knows full well. That's born within us. We know how to sin. So why is it that when we were slaves to sin, it's easy, okay? What's the mentality? Just do it, right? If it feels good, just do it. Good. So this is our sin side of the stage. Now we come over here to righteousness, and God says, here's a good thing for you to do. And we say, oh, Lord, I need to pray about that. Okay, over here, it's really natural. Let's just do it. Now all of a sudden, we make our faith so difficult. God says, here's something for you to do. Let's go in it. And we're, I don't think so, God. Sometimes we do that. Let's not make our response to God so difficult. If God is our master, it leads to a life of freedom. If Satan is the master, it leads to destruction. Believe you me, he is standing at the door, and sin is standing at the door wanting to knock and drag you away so that you will have no way to stand in this world. And if any of you, especially young people, they stopped talking. Especially young people. If you believe I can just dabble in sin just a little bit because I'm young and I'm strong and I can deal with it, read some history. Lots of people are dragged away and enticed by sins and their lives are a mess as a result. Don't be slaves to sin. Be slaves to righteousness. See, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I thought it would be worth reading this together. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down.'" Do you ever recognize that the devil doesn't come to you and say, let's find a name here, Jeff. Jeff, I really don't like this thing. Maybe you should dabble in this a little bit. Here's a specific area I can trip you up. He doesn't talk like that. At least I haven't seen that. He talks in generalities. You stink. You can't do it. Hey, why not hang out with these friends at this place? Maybe you shouldn't. I mean, whatever. He doesn't get all that specific. And do you wonder why? Because he has no desire to do anything good in us. Let's just make it very general. Maybe they'll just follow me. Whereas the Holy Spirit is quite different. The Holy Spirit acts with surgical precision. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives, right? Teresa's nodding, so we'll use her name. You know, Teresa, here's a specific thing in your life. Can you work on it? And it's not a condemnation at all, but it's here's something that's going on. This isn't in tune with my will. Let's work on it. If God is your master, he loves you. He changes you for your own good. He never works on changing you to destroy you, but the enemy does want to destroy you. Maybe the Spirit says this: stop putting down your wife. Stop going out to this place that's dragging you down. Maybe go over to that person and talk to them because he knows something's not right, with surgical precision, because he cares. He loves us. The Christian life is a walk. All I have to do is take the next step, moment by moment. If I'm going to walk out the back of this sanctuary, all I have to do is take the next step. Correct? It's the same thing in our spiritual lives. We just need to take the next step, where the Holy Spirit points out one thing and we deal with that. But see, Satan intimidates us all the time by the long term, the big picture. You stink. Your whole life is in trouble. Well, no, it's not, actually. Yeah, I'm dealing with a couple things, but I've got the power of the Holy Spirit in me. But Satan intimidates us by those long-term things so that we forget to live each moment for Christ. Now, this is great because Kevin, last week, he read that story. Was it a Reader's Digest story of a young lady who was told she's going to die? And what did she start to do? She started living for the very moment. She started living every day, one step at a time, right? And she started taking time away and having quiet time and meditation and such, right? And the devil doesn't want us to do those things. He doesn't want us to take time and live for Christ. He wants us just to float through life. We are being asked in the scriptures to make a choice. Verse 12, do not let sin reign. Verse 13, do not present yourselves. Verse 15, shall we sin? Verse 16, to whom you present yourselves. 17, you obeyed from the heart. 19, just as you presented, so now present your members. We choose all the time what we will do. We are the ones active in choosing these things. We give up our joy, but we never want to call it sin. So often, we give up joy in our lives because of something, but we don't want to admit that it's actually sin in our lives. Whatever stops the constant flow of joy in your life often is sin. We call it tiredness. We call it work pressures. We call it deadlines. We call it all sorts of things, but a lot of the time we forfeit joy because it's sin within us. But the blood of Jesus Christ was never said to cleanse excuses. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed to cleanse us of our sins. So how do we change? How do we do it? How do we go from being slaves of sin to slaves of righteousness? See, change is not birthed in the midst of crisis. It's all about the process. So often we think that, I got to go to a youth retreat, and we got to get to a point where there's an altar call, and I have to cry, or else it's not really a valid moment with God. That's not it at all. Although some of those moments are absolutely valid and desperately needed in our lives. We can't live our lives from crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis, but we have to live our lives in Christ moment by moment by moment, because it is a process. The New Testament picture of Christianity many times talks about Christianity as being a walk, just taking that next step with him. Romans 8:1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, whose walk is in Christ. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit. Verse 25, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 4, walk worthy, walk carefully. There's lots of references. There's tons more in 1 Thessalonians, in Thessalonians and in 1 John. So then I start thinking, I'm actually admittedly quite tired today after being up at the camp. So how will I be when I get home? Well, not bad because my family's not going to be there yet. So what happens when they get there? Will I be grumpy? What if they wake me up and I'm napping? You know, what about tomorrow morning when it's actually my day off and I'm supposed to be nice to my wife? Will I be? You know, and I start thinking all sorts of things like this. And yet, what's the point? The point is I need to walk every moment with Christ. I needed to be enslaved to him. At this moment, if your walk is being clouded with the rising of some emotion of sin in you, God will look at you and say, deal with just that. This is what we've been saying, the surgical precision. If the enemy's been whispering in your ears, your whole life is dark right now. It's been raining for 4 days and it's your fault. Number one, recognize yourself as dead to those sins. Number two, recognize yourself alive to Christ. And don't listen to those generalities, but ask the Lord to reveal those very specific things in your life. And when he shows you that thing, deal with just that. So many of us get so overwhelmed and, oh, I've got so many things that I'm doing wrong, Lord. My whole spiritual life stinks. No, let's just deal moment by moment with just that. Get that thing under the blood of Jesus Christ and then walk with him and move on. So lastly, practicing the process of change. How do you go about it? I've already told you, but we're going to give one more example, and we're going to pray about it. The crisis in your life says, I don't want to be that person anymore. I can't do that anymore, so I'm going to have a moment right here. So the preacher gives an altar call. We come up. We have that moment. That's great. So long as the process after that follows suit. And we live each step. Okay, now I'm dealing with this sin over here. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to walk each moment with Christ. So what happens? Number one, you recognize yourself as dead to sin. Okay, well, firstly, you recognize that it is sin. Secondly, you say, I am dead to that sin. And thirdly, I am alive in Christ. So for me, an example is anger. When I get tired, oh, I can get frustrated. So what do I do? Great. Here's that sinful feeling welling up in me. Yes, it is sin. Good. Now I've got something to work with. This thing that I'm feeling in my heart right now, if it was anger, that's a sinful thing, God. I cannot go there. Now I'm thinking, oh, I've got to say this and this and this to that person because that's going to be a real sucker punch, right? No. It's sin. I am dead to this sin. I can no longer go down this path. I cannot speak. I can't do it. And I'm going to go even beyond that. I'm going to recognize myself as alive in Christ. So what am I going to do? God, I'm going to use my lips to glorify you. I'm really frustrated with this person inside, but you know what? You got a good point there. God be with you. If that's all I can say, at least I haven't walked back into that sin of anger again. There's an example. Okay? So number one, recognize sin as sin. Secondly, recognize yourself as dead to that sin. And thirdly, you are alive in Christ. So this morning we're going to go to God in prayer. And I guess the question is very simple. Are you a slave to sin or are you a slave to righteousness? And in one moment of time this morning, you could see those shackles. You could see those roots of sin cut right off. You could come to Christ this morning, even for the first time, and say, I need you. And you can entrust yourself to him. If you're sensing that within yourself, those attributes of a slave to righteousness aren't there, if you can't recognize sin, if you can't desire to please the master, maybe there's something going on in your life. Now, friends, you could be a slave to righteousness and still fall into some of these bad things, and that's understandable. But maybe today's the time where you need to turn back to Christ. So why don't we just go before the Lord right now, quietly, just on our own, and then I'll close in prayer this morning. Father, I just want to pray for any person within the sound of my voice who is thinking, yeah, I'm a slave to sin. Lord, I pray for that individual that you would show them who you are. Show them that you care. Show them that you're there. But Lord, I pray that you'd give those individuals the courage right now just to pray a simple prayer, something like, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of those sins. Help me. Help me to live pleasing to you. Bring you to my mind. Lord, I pray for those individuals who may find that freedom this morning, that they'd seek out counsel and friendship from other people so that they'd be encouraged in this walk because, Lord, this Christianity is a walk. And Father, for those who we say we're slaves to righteousness, Lord, we've covenanted ourselves with you. We've bonded ourselves to you. Lord, we ask that you'd help us to walk the walk every day, moment by moment. And Lord, when we fall and when we fail, Lord, the enemy comes so quickly to condemn us and to say, you stink and you can't do it and you can't get up. Lord, in those moments, we want to look to you, and because of your grace, we want to stand again, even when we're broken or it's like our legs kind of hurting or something. But maybe we can spiritually stand up and just hold on to you. So for Lord, those people who have been a slave to righteousness, somebody who's been following after you for a long time in their life, but right now, particularly right now, are dealing with a nasty sin in their life. Lord, I ask that you would might give them victory. But for every person who is struggling deeply with a sin, that they would turn and call on the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that each of us this week, that you'd bring these points to memory, that when sin comes to our door, we'd be able to say, Lord, that we are dead to that sin and truly stand up and be alive in Christ. So, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit, as you indwell us, Lord, that you would knock on our heart's door this week. Lord, that you'd bring your word from Romans to memory and that we could live it out in this world. We pray that maybe, Lord, we might be able to share Christ with somebody. Lord, we ask your blessing on this body. We ask for those as well, Lord, who are traveling down again from the camp this afternoon, Lord, that you give them safety on the wet roads as well. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.